diving right back into it. Hey, you know we're less than 2 months away from Blink 182, right?
Let's go. Right. Oh, my gosh. That's going to be amazing.
Somebody in the text line has a question for Bob and Mac. My 10-year-old wants to know where the British woman is this year.
Well, I think we can bring her back, and you know, Mac can go through all the cliches and pull them, and we can start that up on Monday.
That's like, damn.
Yeah.
Because you've been actually talking about that for the last couple of days.
Come on, man.
You know, you've been like, it's summer, man. Where's the British woman?
Yeah, yeah. I've wondered the same thing.
Well, I mean, she'll be there just fine. And, you know, so I, you know, we'll send a telegram overseas where you can get the most delicious fish and chips in the world. Which, by the way, where do you think you get the best fish and chips in Kansas City? Because somebody, a friend of ours, told me that she's on a fish and chips kick right now. And I'm like, huh, I wonder where the best fish and chips are in
Culver's.
Kansas City. Culver's does.
Have you ever had their cod?
Yes.
It's insane.
Go get the walleye sandwich at Culver's too.
Seasonal.
Yeah, it is. I know. But this is the season.
Don't sleep on Red Robin's fish.
Seriously?
I'm dead serious, dude. It was a very popular item because we'd have a lot of Catholics come in on Friday.
Right.
With like a business lunch or something like that when I used to work there way back in the day. And they would get the fish and chips, and their tartar sauce is amazing.
Oh, the tartar sauce.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they would just take that malt vinegar. And
see, I'm out on the malt vinegar. That makes me throw up, man. It smells like feet to me.
See, I use Tabasco.
Ooh.
Yeah. So kind of the same concept.
We talked about the Chipotle Tabasco, right?
That's right. Smoked.
Okay. Oh,
yeah, come on now.
God.
You used to steal it all the time.
I mean, that's money in the bank right there. We were talking about it on the lake, and I'm like, I forgot I had that in the refrigerator. I went home the other day. I was putting it on everything. I was just making stuff to put that sauce
Chipotle
on, man.
Chipotle Tabasco?
Chipotle. Smoked Chipotle. Okay. Like Tabasco,
I used to smash. I was really bad, and I know I'm not the only one. Text line, I know you're there too.
Yeah,
used to get your burrito to go, and then you go over and grab napkins, fork, turn your head one way or the other.
That was back in the day,
and then you walk right out.
Everybody swiped that.
Yeah.
That the stealing of the Tabasco or the stealing of the soda, like getting the water cup and filling it up with soda. Like
never
those people.
I never did do that.
I
will say that.
I did that in high school. We all did that in high school, and because that's when the first time that actually like came out where you didn't like that's how old I am. Like before they would fill the. I think they're back to that now at like some of these places now where they don't give you the free refills because people abuse it. But I went to Cava yesterday. Delicious lunch with my friend Britt yesterday.
Yeah.
And the woman said, I said, I just have a water. And she goes, well, I'll give you a free soda if you put a Google review up. I'm like, I don't want a soda. I just wanted water.
You
know?
Turn it into tea.
Yeah. But she said that as well. Yeah. I wasn't in the mood for anything like that. I just wanted water. I just got worked out at the J. I'm like, you know, I'm getting all swole and everything. And I'm like,
outside. Yeah,
just want some water. But you see people stealing it all the time now, too. Now they switch cups. So they know. They know. They pry. They know.
Asking you shall receive. Southside Fish and Chips, top notch.
Oh, Southside, yeah.
Jay's on Prospect.
Okay.
Long John Silver.
I thought we lost Long John Silver's.
Fish Market and Liberty.
Okay.
And then Off the Food Truck. Or off the hook.
Yeah, I've had that.
You have? Where's that at?
I've had a food truck off the hook in Wyoming, but I'm sure they have multiple food trucks everywhere.
I'm sure it's not even affiliated. You know, it's probably,
you don't think?
No. Okay, yeah. Captain's Corner in Smithville. You got to take a drive.
Yeah.
Or you can go to Arthur Treacher's.
Arthur Treacher's. There it is.
It's not the same cod.
Again, I was down in the Arthur Treacher's well the other day because I was sending you about Racks and Mr. Delicious, right? And if you don't know who Mr. Delicious is, he was a character that this company named Racks Roast Beef hired to promote their thing. Mm. And he's talking about having a vasectomy in the commercials. And then he's talking about his wife leaves him. It's like the most depressing Eeyore of a man. It's like the guy at training camp that doesn't want Josh Simmons to be good, right? I don't know. And so this Mr. Delicious guy was this advertising figure for Racks. And again, it led me to Arthur Treacher's. And I was, you know, going through and seeing how they screwed it up. They got rid of the cod.
Mm-hmm. Asking you shall receive is what I would say to this next topic.
1-0 pitch. And he bombs one right field deep. To the wall, Acuna looking up, it's gone, Pasquantino. And with that one swing, Vinny Pasquantino not only records his 18th home run, but he underlines very graphically the big problem for Eric Fetty as a starting pitcher this season.
Go ahead and destroy bad pitching with your hitting. So far, since the All-Star game, the Royals have played 11 games. They are 6-5. They're averaging 5.8 runs in these 11 games, and they're also giving up 5 runs per game. So whereas the pitching has kind of started to dissipate, the offense has started to appreciate.
Right.
And we've seen that because they are scoring runs. They've had games where they've scored 9, 7, 4, 4, 5, 8, 12, 7. Now, there are two duds in there, the 0 and a 1.
Right.
But again, The offense has finally arrived. 2 games under .500, 4 games on the wild card. Are we still hanging on to hope? Because it is about a 10% chance they make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think it's 11.8% is what the Athletic had yesterday. You know, give or take a percentage point. But if you want exact numbers, right?
Yeah, and so, 12%.
Yeah, basically a 12% chance of making it to the playoffs.
But with Bubic out and Cags on the DL and Reagan's still out.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say this is a playoff team right now. Now, look, we still have, 24 plus, 12, from 11 hours. So we got like 33 hours until the trade deadline.
And I noticed on my ticket last night is game 55 at home.
Oh, okay.
So there's less than 30 games left at home.
And Vern was talking about it yesterday a little bit. The second third of the season completed yesterday, and the Royals, I think, finished 6 games under .500 in the second third of the season, which is a big drop off from where they were. I think they were 4 games over, obviously, and then they're 6 games under. That's why they're 2 under right now of .500. So the first third of the season, they played 4 games over .500. The next third of the season, they played, 6 games under .500. But here we are. We still have a third of the season to go, but still you're looking like, okay, this is Atlanta right now, and Acuña going down last night, man. Like, I want to cry. I mean,
he was crying last night.
I know. I want to cry for him. I hate when great players get injured, and if you don't know, he probably blew his Achilles is what they're saying. Well, that's what he kind of said after the game, too.
He said he felt it running Monday. Home on Monday, but didn't want to miss any games because he felt like he'd missed too much time. And that's a dude on a losing team.
Yep.
Like, that gives you a lot of respect. Now, obviously, there's going to be some, blowhards and be like, well, if he felt hurt and they're not winning anything, why would you just not sit down and get healthy? You're not an athlete. You're not. You don't have that fire and desire to go out there and play and be a brotherhood of your team.
Well, that's the thing. It's the brotherhood of being being there for your
it
guys.
Sucks. He's one of the best players in baseball.
It's awful, man. I effing hate this. The older I get, the more I hate seeing star players get injured, right? Because you appreciate as you age what these guys are able to do, and as when you're younger, you probably don't know. Ah, it's fine, no big deal. It's whatever. But I like watching Ronald Acuña Jr. play. I think baseball needs Ronald Acuña Jr. to be out there playing and being really good, right? It sucks that he went down. And so you're beating up, right now in the Braves, doing what you're supposed to do, beating up on Fetty Wap last night and taking care of business and then putting up the sixth spot or whatever it was in the sixth inning. Beautiful way to go. But now you've got Toronto and Boston coming up for these next 6 days on the road. And so that's going to be a difficult task for this organization, but I'm still interested to see what they're going to do at the trade deadline. Like, are they going to make some more moves? Are they going to go get some more offensive help right now? It's hard to say a team is a playoff team when they're still under .500. If you're over .500, you're in the conversation. Under .500 right now, you're still kind of on that outside, looking in. And so the Athletic was suggesting yesterday, and I want to know what you guys think about this. It says Kansas City playoff odds aren't completely dead, but much like Cleveland and Minnesota, barring some kind of miracle, an October appearance seems doubtful. Instead, the club should prioritize the health of its pitching staff that has the potential to be one of the league's best for the next several seasons. And their suggestion was basically start shutting guys down. Now, I'm not in that ilk right now. I don't think that's the right move to do. Noah Cameron's getting ready to top, his most innings pitched. Bubic is done for the year. Reagan's is out. Lorenzen is out. You've got these injuries. And so their suggestion was, in a couple of weeks, start dialing it back and shutting these guys down. Now, if you're 6 games under .500, Dusty, I'm good with that, right? But as long as you still have a fighting chance, you can't start shutting down your pitchers. What's that going to say to the rest of your team?
Right. And then you've got Bobby Wood Jr. I know a lot of people have said, he's having a down year. Hitting .289 right now. 36 doubles, 3 triples, 15 home runs, 58 RBIs, which is kind of, really down from the year past. But it's crazy to think that he's having a down year and that's where we're at.
Yeah,
and he's still a stud.
He is. And I was looking at the All-Star odds, whatever it was I was looking at yesterday, like MLB put like your top 5 contenders for the American League for the American League MVP up. And I'm like, I wonder if Bobby's in this. And it's chosen by a panel of MLB.com experts. So this is legit, right? Mm-hmm. And so they have Aaron Judge, which I hate to break it to you right now. Cal Raleigh's your kind of leader in the clubhouse, I think, anyway. And he comes in at number 2. Jose Ramirez, number 3. Scooble, 4. And Bobby Witt Jr., number 5 in the AL MVP race. And I'm like, that's really cool to see. Because even in a down year when the team is below .500 and really not challenging, for a postseason birth, Bobby Witt has developed that street cred. Like, you know those offensive linemen who always make the Pro Bowl because everybody knows they're good regardless of what they do?
Mm-hmm.
That's where Bobby Witt's now. He's in the arrived category. And I thought that was the biggest thing that I took away from that. I'm like, Bobby Witt's now in the arrived category. Everybody around baseball knows this is one of the great players in the game. And even in a quote-unquote down year where the team isn't winning, he's still a top five MVP candidate. That tells you how good that guy is and how much everybody knows that dude has arrived on the scene, man.
According to DraftKings, there's only six players ahead of Bobby Witt Jr. with better odds to win MVP. Aaron Judge, who was a foregone conclusion was over, is now only minus 160. Cal Raleigh, plus 130. Jose Ramirez, as you had mentioned, plus 7,000. Tarik Skubal, who you mentioned as well, also plus 7,000. Here's a name.
Skubal win the MVP and Cy Young?
He could. Nick Kurtz is fifth in odds at plus 1,000, tied with Corey Seager at sixth, and then Bobby Witt Jr. after that. So Nick Kurtz, the rookie, up there.
You and I were talking a lot about him last night, and man, being that fourth overall pick, where do we say he went to school? Like San Diego State or someplace like
he
that?
He went to some like baseball school in Tennessee.
Okay.
It's like basically like Southwest Baptist.
Like the University of Tennessee is a baseball school, right? The Volunteers?
Yeah, but I mean, it's more so like a small like branch school.
Because they're not a football school in Tennessee, I can tell you that.
Come
right
on! Don't forget, a week from tomorrow is Travis Kelce Appreciation Day here on 96.5 The Fan with this show, 8-7, representing Mr. 8-7. We come back, we talk about the receivers on this roster. It's a conversation we do every year, plus we get back to the poll question. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Vinny Pasquantino, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5.
That's what they tell us to do here.
That's right. They got all these signs around the office basically telling us how to stay in shape. And you know what? They work. I'm not going to lie. I get up now every break and I walk around the building, get a little movement going. That's what you got to do.
Follow the arrows. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5. The band is back together. The three-man band. Bob, Mac, Dusty here with you. Of course, it is a Wednesday.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Wednesday.
All right. We asked the question, will Josh Simmons be the best left tackle since Willie Rofe? Yes or no?
How we doing, guys?
I'm going to go check it out now. Mac, have you voted to see the actual results?
I have not.
Has Binkley voted?
No, he's still fighting with people. I just went and told Kramer. I was like, did you see what Binkley was doing last night on Twitter? He goes, someone had to have struck Bink's nerve. Love when he gets fired.
Oh, everybody loves it. It's great. It's free entertainment.
So the poll question is in Fesco and Dusty poll. Is Josh Simmons going to be the best left tackle since Willie Rofe? 80.6% have said yes.
Wow, that's less than what we had last week. And last week's poll question, I don't even remember what it was, but it was an overwhelming runaway. And it was like, should the Chiefs, play this season or something? Yes or no? And like 90% said yes, and 10% were like, no.
Should the Chiefs play this season?
I forget. It was something so ridiculous that,
remember.
But it was like a runaway. But this is not as big a runaway as last week's poll question was. That's what I'm trying to remember. What the hell last week's poll question was. Salvi. It was signing Salvi to the picking up Salvi's team option that the team still has yet to do. And they still need to do that. So yeah, people were in favor of that. And look, Josh Simmons is most likely going to be the best left tackle since Willie Rofe. And there's not a lot to compare it to, but that's still a good thing to say. Yeah, he's going to be the best left tackle since Willie Rofe. And if you voted no in that poll, who are you saying is, in your opinion, better than where Josh Simmons is right now? Do you think, right? It was, do you think Josh Simmons will be the best? If you don't think that, well, what's holding you back from thinking that Josh Simmons is going to be the best left tackle since Willie Rofe?
Is Josh Simmons going to be the best Chiefs left tackle since Willie Rofe? Same thing. 80-20 is where we're at. Yes versus no. We have one response in the poll.
Okay.
The Twitter handle is Poontang 56. It says there's a long way to go before we even start talking about him being better than Fisher. And the graphic of their handle is Mr. Garrison from South Park.
Mr. Garrison. Drugs are bad, okay?
Well, that's Mr. Mackey, but yeah. Either way, that's right. Mr. Garrison's like,
Mr. Garrison!
Yeah, oh, jeez. There's at least one that says we have to wait till he gets to Fisher. That's a fair point. Interesting handle on your Twitter account there. But don't forget, you can join 96.5 The Fan live at Hollywood Casino on Friday, August 8th. Cody and Gold plus The Drive will be broadcasting live from the sportsbook inside Hollywood Casino. We will be registering fans to win a signed Chiefs Charles Minnehue football, plus a pair of tickets to the Chiefs and Colts game. Be sure to follow Hollywood Casino on Facebook, Instagram, and X, and enter their giveaway on August 7th for a chance to win $100 pin cash on August 8th, every hour from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then again, next Thursday, a week from tomorrow, we have 8-7 day where we do all things Travis Kelce. So it will literally be focused all around that with interviews, topics, highlights, phone calls, texts, whatever you want, as we appreciate Mr. 87. But again, not a wide receiver, but a tight end. But the conversation that happens every single year. How many receivers will make this team?
Coach, how many receivers do you plan on keeping on the roster this year?
Six. You think?
Yeah, listen. You asked me that last year.
Yeah, so we know of five, right? So it's one spot that's getting fought for.
We're worried about who's going to be the sixth wide receiver on the team.
Love that, because what? We have Rice, Worthy, Juju, Hollywood.
Jalen Royals.
And then it's either Remigio.
Yep.
It's... what's another one? Sky Moore. Oh, come on.
I mean, if we're worried about the sixth wide receiver on this roster, we got another problem.
If you want to know if Sky Moore is making this team or not, he's getting reps with Gardner Minshew. Writing's on the wall.
Who was it? There was somebody getting reps with the ones yesterday with Patrick Mahomes. It was Jalen Royals, or maybe it was Remigio.
Thornton,
maybe. It's somebody's name. Somebody who cares. But it wasn't Sky Moore is what I'm getting at, you know? And that's a good point by Dusty. Like, if you're out there running with Gardner Minshew or whoever the third quarterback is on the roster and whatnot, you're probably not going to make this team. The thing that you really hope about Sky Moore is it's somebody that you can flip to another team. Somebody loses a wide receiver. Somebody needs, you know, a decent enough wide receiver that was a second round pick that, oh, we like this guy coming out of college, but we didn't get him in the draft. Kind of a reclamation project. You hope there's somebody out there like that where you can maybe trade Sky Moore and get a seventh round draft pick back in return, or, you know, bag of baseballs, as they like to say. So that's what you're hoping with Sky Moore, is that ultimately he becomes a guy that you can find another team needs him. You can deal him. You can get a pick back in return. Nothing spectacular for Sky Moore. But I mean, if we're talking about the sixth wide receiver on this roster, I mean, like what are we doing here? I mean, it's going to come down to whether or not these front four guys produce. And if they don't and they get injured, well, then Patrick Mahomes is going to have to work his magic yet again. And Mahomes has shown us over the years it really doesn't matter who he's throwing the football to, except for Kadarius Toney. And other than that, Patrick Mahomes has made it work with every wide receiver that he put out there. So who's going to be the sixth wide receiver? I could care less who the sixth wide receiver is going to be, because Patrick Mahomes is going to make that guy look like the first wide receiver, because that's how good he is at that quarterback
position. I would say we should care a little more, because we know Rashee Rice is going to be suspended for a certain amount of games, and there's got to be somebody that you can hope.
So that sixth becomes that fifth, that seventh. Yep.
Yeah, so there's somebody that you hope that can grab, what, 3 to 4 targets per game?
Do you really think the sixth guy's even going to be active on game day?
Well, they will, because Rice won't be active.
Well, but you don't have to have six wide receivers. Maybe you have five wide receivers activate an extra running back or something like that.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That fifth guy that's activated will be the sixth guy that makes the roster.
Yeah, I mean, but
for
I mean,
the first 4 to 6 weeks or whatever that suspension is, that they said was going to be ramped up since they expedited the court hearing, which I'm still waiting for that.
Mecole Hardman was the fifth wide receiver in this offense for a long time. You saw a lot of him. Justin Watson, fourth, fifth, and even sixth wide receiver. Those guys mean a lot to the Chiefs offense. They are kind of another X wide receiver, and there are a lot of distractions for what now will be Hollywood Brown, Xavier, and Rashee Rice. They stretch the field. They're usually fast guys in the Chiefs offense. They're going to be on the field whether you like it or not, and I hope we at least like it more than we've liked it in the past.
Well, yeah, but it's one of those things, like, I'm not losing any sleep over this. The left tackle position got fixed. I got Patrick Mahomes. Give me anybody.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I just really hope it's not Sky Moore.
Somebody on the
I don't think it will be.
I don't think so. I think that ship is sailed. I think he's Thornton. Just here to, like, maybe – I think what they're doing with Sky Moore in camp – is to give him some sort of reels for other teams that might be like, I'll take a chance. I'll maybe see if it works with us, because it hasn't worked here. It's not going to work here.
My parking lot reels would have me a better chance.
I mean, there's reels on Instagram that have a better chance at making a team than Sky Moore. But what about the third running back? Because that's a conversation I think is worth meriting. Like, right? Like, somebody on the text line says, will the sixth wide receiver be saved by Tube?
because it's usually what it comes down to, right? Who's going to return kicks?
Like, all right, Dave, which one of these two do you want? The other one's getting out of here. And then you have, from the 660, you have a playmaker and a coach. Harmon did not play X, LOL. Gotcha.
That's a good text right there. Do we have the thanks coach available? Who knows what position these guys are playing? Honest to God, you're not sitting there at Arrowhead on Sunday going, oh my God, that guy lined up as the X and this guy lined up as the
yes,
Y.
There are.
And if you are saying that, I don't want to be around you. Sorry. Yeah, my cup of tea.
I'm going to find out where anybody else in the entire damn stadium is sitting.
Hey, that guy's passed out up there. This guy's tripping over himself here. I'd rather sit by any of them.
I'd rather
than somebody telling me who's playing the X position.
Would you rather sit next to somebody who's like, yeah, he's in the Y, he's in the Z, or sit next to the guy that was at the Yankees game with his girlfriend up in the upper deck?
Oh, clearly.
Yeah.
When you said Yankees, I was thinking about the doofuses that sat behind us.
Oh, you know?
And I'm like, I'd rather sit by them, too, than the guy who's breaking out his alleged playbook at the game in the crowd telling me who's playing what position. That's like the guy at the baseball game who's calling pitches, you know? I think he should go with a slider here. I think a slider works nicely on this guy in this pitch. You know, the 2-2 slider on the back door, yeah, he can't hit that. He should throw. Who the hell cares? Enjoy the damn game!
My bet on Nick Kurtz went to Wake Forest. I apologize for that. So he was there with Chase Burns, the pitcher that's got stud for Cincinnati. Yeah. I get it, the six wide receiver is important for this team because of what could be coming when it happens to be the suspension of Rashee Rice. But, you know.
Yeah, listen, everybody's important.
And we're looking forward to the challenge.
Yeah.
But I do think it's interesting that Binkley thinks Worthy could have a breakout year because Worthy yesterday made Johnson look kind of foolish.
He did. I mean, Worthy yesterday made Nazee Johnson, man. He beat Johnson twice, and the Chiefs actually put out this video yesterday. I mean, when you see Worthy out there beating Johnson like he did, it's comical. He made Johnson look soft and weak yesterday, Dusty. I mean, just the moves that Worthy put on Johnson, the way that he was dancing around out there. Johnson dropped his pants on one of those plays. I mean, he had Worthy, he couldn't figure him out. And then there was one play where Johnson was all over Worthy, right? Did you see that one? And Worthy still went up and high pointed that ball and brought it back down. But the one at the goal line where he made like Johnson just look like a rookie, like a college player, like a high school player, I went, man, if Xavier Worthy's doing that on Sunday and he's doing that in space to Nazee Johnson, he's a pretty good player. Imagine what he can do for the rest of the NFL.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
All right, staying on the gridiron, we're going to go to Jimmy Haslam over in Cleveland talking about the Shedeur Sanders. We've got a couple things from Browns owner Jimmy Haslam. This is him talking about the Shedeur Sanders pick and
nuts.
Kind of saying, you know, it wasn't my pick.
If you'd have told me, so we picked him on Saturday, right? Friday night driving home, y'all are going to pick Shedeur, I would say that's not happening. But we had a conversation early that morning, and then we had a conversation later that day. I think we had the right people involved in the conversation. At the end of the day, that's Andrew Berry's call. Andrew made the call to pick Shedeur. Just like who's going to start or what play we're going to call is Kevin's call. But that's Andrew's call. He made the call.
You obviously
I think it's Andrew's call.
Yeah, good. I mean, you hired the guy to do a job. You let him do the job, and you let everybody know. I think what Jimmy Haslam is doing, because he has such a bad reputation about, I mean, just everything that he's done has been done horribly with that Cleveland franchise and whatnot, and everything else that's gone on with Jimmy Haslam over the years. I don't think he ever gets the benefit of the doubt, but that's him separating himself from his general manager right there and letting everybody know. If this doesn't work out, he picked him, you know, so the blame goes on him. That's him separating himself from that.
I would just say it's Browns, right?
Like, yeah, well,
just,
yeah,
like, Browns, just yeah. The absolute S-storm that is consistently the Cleveland Browns giving Deshaun Watson all that money.
Yep. Watson, yes!
And, you know, kind of ruining the league and making everybody look at them as like a bunch of idiots. Then all of a sudden you got this guy coming out here, Haslam, being like, well, wasn't my pick.
Yeah.
It's Andrew's pick.
It's his. You want to know. Fans want to know. They want the behind the scenes. He picked them, not me.
It's like when Skidmark comes out of the bathroom and Dumb and Dumber, and he's like, who threw the salt?
Yeah, right.
What, me, dude? Yeah. So when it fails.
But I also, I look, if you're going to be the owner of a franchise, you hire these guys to do their job. You let them do their job. If you don't agree with it, you don't agree with it. But at least he didn't get in the way of this one and say, here's Deshaun Watson, because he clearly did that one and it didn't go well. I didn't do this one.
Be like JJ being like, hey, he said CAG should come up. What, me? That was Sherman's call. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, total one word, Browns.
Well, he wasn't done talking. They asked him about Arch Manning, which has just been a top story, and we're not even to college football season yet. He says, well, you might want to hold your horses on Arch Manning.
You get paid by how many hits you get, okay? And I think if you know the Manning family, I would bet that, and I don't know Arch at all, okay? I bet he stays in college 2 years, so that's, I don't even think that's worth discussing. So,
I love that comment by Jimmy Haslam, basically ending a narrative before the college football season starts that everybody wants to be a narrative. Who's playing for Arch Manning? And he said right there, if you know the Manning family, they don't leave after, you know, the first year.
It's true.
And it is. That's the track record. Peyton, Eli, and Arch is probably going to do the same thing. I love the fact that Jimmy Haslam basically ended a narrative right there for the entire media this college football season. He took away your low-hanging fruit. Find another quarterback that's going to come out, because it doesn't look like Arch Manning is going to come out. And I think that's the right decision to make.
I mean, yeah, I would say nipped is that the one word I would say. Like, I'm not going to sit here and take these questions all day, all night, every single time. It's like when Clark Hunt was asked about the stadium the other day. He's like, yeah, no, still got two locations. I'm not going to say anything more than that because I know these things can change overnight.
Yep.
And everybody else is like, okay, so how do you feel about the team this year? And it's like, that's what you want. That's the perfect kind of PR polished answer you want to give people, because that's the way the business goes. And if Arch Manning does stay, which he should, he's in Austin, Texas. He's a stud. He's getting laid probably every night that he wants.
And you get
he's
the money now.
A ton of money, yeah. And it's fully guaranteed. And you can live your best life. Like, your dads can tell you, your dad and your uncle and your other uncle can tell you, and your grandfather can be like, hey, man, you're going to make the NFL. Enjoy college, because we did, and it's fun. Maybe you can go win a national title, and then you could add more and more clout to your name. So I totally agree. Why not leave early?
Imagine if he wins the national championship at Texas. What kind of street cred that dude would have?
And that would be tight. Sark's pants would be.
I mean,
you talk about the Knicks and their effect on, you know, the NBA and stuff in New York in general. Texas in college football.
It would be huge. And you know, I was covering the Longhorns when they got Chris Sims years ago as their quarterback, and that was a big deal, right? And he never amounted, obviously, to what we think Arch Manning can do, but I remember when he came in, people were so excited. Oh my God, Chris Sims, and the difference a quarterback at Texas makes. And if Arch Manning goes out there and they win the SEC this year and they play for the national championship, I mean, I'm going to tell you something, man. That guy's going to be able to write his ticket. And why wouldn't you come back for one
and
more
you know
year
who
after
Texas's
that?
Texas' first game is this year?
Ohio State.
There we go, baby.
Yeah, October 3rd or October, August 30. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big
Hopefully
day.
It's nice because we'll be on the Fesco deck.
That's fine. Put
God,
it down.
That sounds weird. So there
Put
you
it
go.
Down.
Fesco
no,
Johnson.
It, yeah.
Put it down.
It's an 11 a.m. game, too, which is really good.
Yeah,
it's perfect.
It's
perfect. Yeah.
Get that Blackstone ready for breakfast.
Yeah. All right. I can do that.
Right.
That's actually a good idea.
A great
Let's plan.
Idea.
Put it down. Yeah.
Not my house.
Yeah, exactly. Get
Not
the bacon
mine either.
Dusty.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I'll get some of that center cut bacon that they have.
Cincinnati Bengals, some good news for their fans. And Drew Nixon, Trey Hendrickson did show up yesterday. He didn't want to take the $50,000 fine that may have amassed every day. One word?
I would say, you said smart. I would say stupid for showing up and giving in. Usually when you have these fines, they work themselves out. You know, you can kind of negotiate not paying those.
Didn't Chris Jones's fines get?
Yeah, but the Chiefs didn't agree with, like, negotiating them out. Not all of them, I don't think. I think they waived some of them and whatnot. Like,
added incentives to erase
Right. That's why he was so excited to get that $1 million incentive, because he didn't have to pay that money back to the team.
I'm no longer in debt.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You made that final credit card payment. Woo! Here, let me charge it, you know,
and I'll get a new one.
Yeah, so I think it like, you got to hold your ground on this one, man. They need you. But these guys start to get a little bit itchy, man. It's time to start playing football, and they want to get out there and make their money this year. And he's hoping the good faith will bring the Cincinnati Bengals around. I would say if it was another organization, maybe. We're talking about the Bengals here. What if they ever showed good faith at anything?
Well, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Joe Burrow. And then what? They also paid their Ja'Marr Stewart. Yeah, Ja'Marr Stewart.
Yep.
He's there. So, I mean, I think it's smart for Trey because then you can also put more clout into your corner and be like, hey, I could have held out. I could have done all this. I didn't. I'm here. I believe in it. I know that may be just like, you know, horseshoes and hand grenades when it comes to the all be all with the contract.
Yeah.
But, I mean, get out there because the worst thing you want is to get out there in the regular season and get hurt because you're out of shape.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, you know, you think about, too, being there for your guys and whatnot, and they're going through training camp, and everybody knows training camp sucks and stinks,
yeah.
And if they're going through it and you're not, there's a little bit of resentment there.
Yeah.
One word, Raiders defensive tackle Adam Butler had this to say about Christian Wilkins. This whole situation has gotten super weird since the Adam Schefter reporting on Pat McAfee, very vague reporting about him possibly kissing the head of a teammate, and now other people saying it was more than that. This is what Adam Butler had to say yesterday on Christian Wilkins.
A lot of controversy around the defensive line group after the release of Christian Wilkins. Mm-hmm. How have you seen your unit be able to leave that as just outside noise and hone in on your craft?
We pretty much just kind of moved on from the situation. You know, I really don't want to comment further on it. But I will say that, you know, whatever you're going through as a person, you know, athlete, non-athlete, whoever, whatever your struggle is, if you got something going on in life, just, you know, talk to somebody. Get some therapy. You know, whatever your deal is your deal. Somebody out there in this world full of billions of people is willing to listen. They're willing to listen, hear you out, and help you work through whatever you need to work through. But don't make any hasty decisions. Get help.
Okay, I'm just going to refrain. That's the word I'm going to use because I don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah,
here.
No one does.
I like you can't find. It's all just kind of rumor, innuendo, suggestions. You know,
yeah,
vague. Maybe people are making. I don't know. So I'm just going to use the word refrain because I have no idea what's going on, and I have no idea what that question was. Can you please play that gentleman's question again to the man that answered?
A lot of controversy around the defensive line group after the release of Christian Wilkins. Mm-hmm. How have you seen your unit be able to leave that as just outside noise and hone in on your craft?
Okay. What kind of question is that? Ask the question that you want to know. What's the vibe now with this Christian Wilkins thing? Can you tell us what's going on? How's your unit handling this? Well, that's a personal question, first of all.
That's you can't do that in this situation. My God. Yeah, I mean, weird. I think you said it earlier. Like, the whole situation's weird. Like, there's now like videos that are getting out into the league that he's what, like touching guys.
Yes,
in the,
all
in
these
tackles.
Videos are surfacing
back
of tackles.
Clemson even years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently Josh Allen got, you know, sideways with this guy when he was playing with the Dolphins. The Clemson videos are surfacing. Yeah. Like every commercial break, I've got a friend sending me a different one of something that, you know, they've got on. I have no idea.
Me either.
What's going on with this guy, what the situation is. Quite honestly, I don't want to know.
And but sounds like a Raider problem. And they gotta get that.
Yeah, I mean, like this is Raidering, right? Like, yeah. I mean,
welcome to Vegas. Coming up on the other side, that is One Word with Mac Morey. This is Fesco and Dusty. Coming up, sports disappointment. It was a meme yesterday or a graphic yesterday, and they gave us a couple of them to look at. We ask you on the text line when we read them on the other side, which one you'd rather see. 913-586-7965. This unit will return on the other side on 96.5 The Fan, your own for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
I guess later on in the preseason football, we can talk about again, who do you think might be one of the first coaches fired? Got to be Mike McDaniels in the clubhouse, right? The Dolphins just had a significant blow to their roster.
Is this the defensive back?
Yeah, Cader Kohou out for season with a significant knee injury. They now return zero starters in their secondary from last year.
That's exactly right. That's insane, right? I was just looking at that on X, formerly Twitter. No starters from their secondary last year. Now, you could say, I don't know if they were any good in the secondary last year.
They're decent. They had Jalen Ramsey.
They traded him. You know, they moved on from him. Fuller got cut in the offseason. So they've moved on from everybody. Do we have anybody extra that we can foist on Miami and get like a second round draft pick back in return for us? Or anybody?
Sky Moore could play corner.
Play cornerback. If I'm Brett Veach, that's right. Yeah. If I'm Brett Veach right now, I'm calling Miami. Hey, here's what I can do for you. Sky Moore has been quietly working out in private at defensive back. He'd be a good fit for what you guys are doing down there. We'll take him for a second pick. Also, the other big news coming out of Miami, and this is where I get kind of, this is why I think we need to ban the media from practice. Oh, he has no interceptions in 6 days, Tua does, right?
Oh, please.
Meanwhile, right, Aaron Rodgers and Jackson Dart throw interceptions on their first play of practice, and both of those guys are like, it's practice. We're supposed to make mistakes, which I do agree with. And J.J. Watt even said it last week, too, with all these nerds out there counting incompletions and whatnot. J.J. Watt's like, dude, that's what practice is about. You take chances. You try to make mistakes to see if you can do it. Like, we made fun of Jameis Winston's comments the other day. But you know what? Like, when Jameis is sitting there going, did I make a bad decision? How do you know if it's not, if in practice you're not trying to make bad decisions to see if you can actually make the throw or whatever? So the fact that Tua doesn't have any interceptions allegedly through six training camp practices, is he really trying to push the ball downfield? Is he doing what he needs to do to get better? Or is he taking the safe route so all the fanboys can sit there and say he has no interceptions in his first six practices of training camp? That's going to be a real interesting one. I tend to side with Aaron Rodgers and Jackson Dart on this one, that and J.J. Watt, that interceptions are okay in training camp. They're going to push that Tua narrative a lot this year. We're going to get sick and tired of it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just camp talk. We get every year. I mean, think about the people that are like, oh, great, Mahomes threw it behind the pass back in. I mean, like, right. I get tired of that.
Yeah,
like,
right, yeah. Cool. That's what I'm saying, yeah.
He does it every year. Nothing matters. It's fine.
Right.
Oh, but you guys get all hyped up about Josh Simmons because he's throwing grown men.
Yeah, he's throwing grown men to the ground. That's completely different. Yeah. Everybody thinks everything is black and white, right? Like, if you say that Cags was going to be good and he wasn't, that means that if you say Josh Simmons is going to be good, he's not going to be good because you said Cags was going to be good and he hasn't been good. What? Like, what does one thing have to do with the other? It's a case-by-case scenario. It's easier for the naked eye to see in practice whether or not an offensive lineman is dominating or getting dominated. You can literally watch that in one-on-ones. In football, when it comes to throwing the ball, you don't know what the play was. You don't know who ran the right route. You don't know if the interception was on the quarterback, if it was on the wide receiver, or, you know, whatever the case may be, or maybe a defender got in through the line and, you know, messed things up a little bit. We don't know that. But when you're watching offensive linemen and defensive linemen going, you can look at a one-on-one battle and determine who won. It's pretty obvious who's winning these battles in camp. That's why the Josh Simmons thing is different. But the propaganda that comes out of these training camps, my God, from the fake injuries to the fake stats and all of this kind of stuff, just play the damn games. Let's go.
This guy's going to be a problem. And it's just him running in shorts, catching a pass.
Yeah. Wait,
get ready.
Yeah.
Never heard of him.
What never heard it? Of this guy.
The one you always see. Year 9, engaged.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Math.
And great from the text line. Maybe there are no good defensive backs, and that's why Tua is throwing. That is true. That's a good text great right text. There.
Yeah, what secondary is Tua throwing to? Exactly.
Great point by the text line. Awesome. Take the rest of the day off. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So yesterday I saw a graphic come up on X and it says, which would you rather have seen happen? And I thought to myself, it's pretty good. You know, I'm sitting on Metcalf where I'm going 1 mile per hour every 10 minutes. And
that's your fault for taking Metcalf.
Well, I can't take Null. 69 to 435 is absolutely effed.
Yeah.
So what do you want me to do? Take I know. I mean, go all the way the walk. Wrong way to Lee Summit? Walk. Yeah. Get effed.
Metcalf sucks.
I'm sorry. I got no other option. But it says, which one would you rather have seen happen? The first one says Jordan never retires the first time. The second one says Kobe and Shaq never split up. The third one is LeBron and Kobe face off in the finals. And then the last one is Derrick Rose never gets injured. So it's an NBA conversation. And if I could lead the way here, I would have loved nothing more than to see Kobe versus LeBron in the finals. Because the Mamba mentality and the LeBron mentality mashing up 1v1 would have settled so many debates no matter what would have happened. Because we are fortunate enough that we've got to see Mahomes and Brady face each other in the playoffs twice, and Brady beat him. So that extended the gap between the two. Whether you hate that conversation or not, that will always be there. We never saw LeBron and Kobe play in the finals, so we don't know what they would have done in the finals. So, like, to me, that's where my heart goes, even though I'm a huge D. Rose guy, because of the story, Chicago kid, the legacy. Yeah. So that's where I lean, is I would have loved to seen LeBron and Kobe face off in the finals.
Yeah, none of those really interest me, quite honestly, to be honest with you. I'm just speaking from the truth. But if I had to pick one, it would have been Jordan not retiring and winning 8 in a row, because then we would have no conversation on who the greatest of all time is. And they would have won those 2 championships in a row. They would have won 8 in a row had Michael Jordan not wanted to go play baseball.
I don't think so.
Who was going to beat them?
Hakeem Olajuwon's pretty good. Those Rockets teams were pretty good. They won back to back. I don't know. It's not even about that. It's about winning 8 in a row. It's less about them and more about you just continuing to do it. It's really hard.
They took a 2-year break and came back and still won 3 in a row.
And you saw in the Last Dance that third one of the second three-peat. I mean, it was almost did not happen. It was so close.
Yeah,
so that's what I'm saying. So maybe they get 5 in a row or 6 in a row, and then 7 and 8 don't happen. But I get where you're coming from.
Either way, let's say they only won 5 in a row. There's no debate.
No, I get you.
There's no Tom Brady conversation. There's no LeBron James 100%. Conversation. There's no nothing conversation. Michael Jordan is by himself alone, and he is the single greatest team athlete of all time. And there's no debating that, had he not retired.
I agree with that. I just don't think it would have been 8 straight. I'd go D. Rose, but any of these are great. But, I mean, the Kobe and Shaq never split up thing. I mean, like, that would have been cool. But we saw him for a long time. We saw him win 3 straight. So yeah. I'm not... what if they would? I mean,
that was last on my list.
Yeah, honestly, because they got a great run. It was one of the best duos
Plus
ever.
Plus, it helped Kobe's legacy.
It's true.
Because everybody was like, well, Shaq won MVP Shaq's in the finals MVP. Every single year.
Yeah, he scored more.
What would Kobe have been without Shaq? Well, here you go.
Bang.
And then he gets Gasol, and people are like, well, yeah, Pau Gasol. I'm like, come on, man.
Guys,
like, what's
someone.
The excuse, man?
Like, we always have to have a running mate with you. Like, these people who think athletes win these championships by themselves, you're out of your mind. Everybody, like, and then they look down on it, you know. Oh, they had just assembled some. Yeah, that's kind of how you win championships. You don't win a championship being, you know, number one and having, you know, a bunch of losers around side of you. You got to win it with your teammates. It's a team game. It's not an individual game. I know we like to break it down and make everything an individual game. And LeBron has won this, and Jordan has won that, and Mahomes has won this, and Brady has won that. None of those guys are there if they don't have good teammates. I mean, Dusty talked about it at the beginning of the show, this Matt Light being the guy on the offensive line for Tom Brady for basically 20 years at the 100%. Left tackle spot. Like, you don't win championships when you don't have good teammates around you. So end that narrative of, oh, he had to go to Miami to win a championship, or he had to go to L.A. and get with Kobe to win a championship, or he needed to have, you know, Scottie Pippen. Yes! Every great player needs a good running mate with them.
Derrick Rose getting injured not only killed the legacy that could have been, it hurt the NBA.
Really,
and I could
did.
Do 10 minutes on that topic, because he was the next hope. Because he was
awesome.
He was going to Chicago. He won MVP. He was a stud. And it was like, here it is. And then in a blink of an eye, it was like, oh.
All gone.
God.
Damn.
It's over. Like, Chicago kids were finally back. Like, basketball was back. Like, basketball's greatest player of all time was done and gone. And they had to watch him go to Washington and limp across the court. And then here comes Derrick Rose. And then there he went. And you're like, Derrick Rose was like Bo Jackson. It was like 3 years, and then you never heard of it again. But then you hear stories now, 10 years later, 15 years later, you're like, this guy was special. He just couldn't stop Mario Chalmers in the championship back then. sorry. Coming up on the other side, we'll dive back into what is the perfect Royal, as the trade deadline is one day away, here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.